History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Pastor Rick Warren. He's an author, speaker, church planter, and his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, changed my life many years ago. So I'm very honored to catch up with him today. We're going to hear a bit of Rick's story.
Each month, I'm on a different continent speaking. Yeah. This month, I'm back in Australia, which is one of my favorites. I love being here. I've been coming to this country for 40 years. Yeah. And so I have many, many dear friends, close friends in Australia. Last month, I was the opening speaker for the World Pentecostal Congress. Mm-hmm. Before that, we were in Rome with a bunch of bishops and Catholic leaders, born-again, spirit-filled leaders who said, we want to re-evangelize our own people and spread the good news. And then I've been with the Lausanne Conference closing speaker. This year, I'm supposed to be the opening speaker for the World Evangelical Alliance, which will be in Seoul this fall. And so we're going to all these major groups because it's going to take all of us working together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And lots of raindrops working together. Mm. Now, here's the big idea. The fastest period of growth in the church was the first 330 years between 33 AD, when Christ died on the cross, to about 360 AD. And during those 33 decades, the Christian church grew an average of 50% every 10 years. Mm. We started with 120 people in the upper room at Pentecost. Mm. But by 330 years later, 33 decades later, we had won half of the Roman Empire to Christ. Mm. 30 million of 60 million in the Roman Empire had been saved, had come to Christ. In fact, in my library, I have some Roman coins, Roman denarius from different years. In AD 7, Caesar's on the coin. But by AD 330, the Cairo, that's CH, it's the first two letters in Greek of Christ's name. The Cairo is on the Roman denarius. Mm. By 340 AD, Jesus is on the Roman denarius. And by 360, the cross of Jesus Christ is on the Roman denarius. Mm. Now, that's culture change. When you got Jesus on your money, you have changed the culture. How did they do it? We say that the church at its birth was the church at its best. Mm. Let me say that again. The church at its birth was a church at its best. So if we're going to win the world to Christ, it's not going to be done with any particular nation's methods. We don't need European methods. We don't need American methods. We don't need South American methods for everybody. What we need is biblical methods. Yeah. How did they do it in the New Testament time where they had no money? They had no cars, no trains, no trains, no radio. They had no printing press, no radio, no TV, no social media, no internet. All the stuff that we expect to use to spread the gospel today, they had none of that. Mm. And yet, how did they go from 120 people to half the Roman Empire in 300 years? Everybody was a messenger.
Yeah, that's good.
Everybody was a missionary. Mm. Everybody was a minister, okay? You know, the word priest, we have a fair number of Christian churches today that call their leaders priest. Well, the word priest was not even used to 400 AD in the Christian church, and they didn't even start wearing different kinds of clothes to about 420 AD. Mm. Let me just put this in perspective. When I say we're all called to preach the gospel, here's what everybody's thinking right now. When I say the word preach, they think a guy standing behind a pulpit, maybe in a suit, standing behind a pulpit with a Bible in his hand, with a church roof over his head, talking to people who are sitting in either chairs or pews, and they call that preaching. Well, none of that's true for the first 300 years of the church. Mm. There weren't no church buildings for 300 years. Mm. There were no pulpits for 900 years. And nobody had a Bible for 1,500 years. Mm. So our thinking, well, that's what it means to preach. Jesus, it says, went everywhere preaching the gospel. He was never in a church building. He never stood behind a pulpit, and he never held a Bible. So the word preach literally in the Bible means communicate, share, witness, tell. It just means pass it on. It's a communication term, and we're all called to preach. Okay, people say, well, I could never be a preacher, stand up behind the pulpit. God doesn't expect you to do that. So it's really more about passing on the good news.
Well, Rick, I've got to say, I'm such a fan of this finishing the task. I've been following it on social media. Yeah. I see the videos, so people can search up Finish the Task if they want to connect. Yeah. And just before we wrap up, I know you've got to go soon, but the purpose-driven life, I remember reading it when I first got married 22 years ago, and it's a bestseller. Yeah. For those who've never read it, tell us just the headlines, what the book's about.
It hasn't changed. The purposes of God have not changed. And they are, first, God wants us to know Christ. Then he wants us to grow in Christ. He wants us to belong to his family. He wants us to serve Christ, and he wants us to share Christ. This is called worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. Now, I could give you all kinds of different words, but for 2,000 years, the church have been doing these five things. But there's an order to them. First, you have to bring them in to Christ and membership. And then you get them to belong to the body of Christ. Then you get them to become like Christ. Then you get to bless others, get them to bless others through their gifts and ministry. And then you get them to be sent, sending out. And so finishing the task is a combination of the five purposes of God and the five things Jesus did. Now, the five things Jesus did when he was here on earth, we are to continue. It's interesting that in book Luke, who wrote the book Luke, told all about Christ's life. He also wrote the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. And in the first verse of Acts, he says, in the previous book, talking about the book of Luke, I told you all the things that Jesus began to do and began to teach. And now he's telling the story of the church. Mm-hmm. Why? Because what Jesus began, the church is to continue. Mm-hmm. Jesus went back to heaven, but we are the body of Christ on earth. So whatever Jesus did here on earth during his ministry, you and me and everybody who's listening are to keep doing. So what did Jesus do? He did five things. These five things are summarized in three verses in the Bible. First, in the book of Matthew, it says that Jesus went into every village preaching the good news, teaching in the synagogue, and healing every disease and sickness. Then it says he prayed. He continually prayed. And it's, in fact, the greater Jesus' ministry got, the more he prayed. And it's interesting that the disciples watched Jesus preach the greatest sermons. They never said, teach us to preach. They watched him cast out demons. They said, teach us to cast out demons. They watched him do miracles and heal people. They never said, teach us to heal. What they said was, teach us to pray. Why? Because the power for preaching, teaching, and healing comes in prayer. And the fifth thing Jesus did was he was a builder. He was preaching, teaching, healing, praying, and building his church. He said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell can't proclaim. Obviously, it worked because we're all here. Okay? One out of every three people on planet Earth is a follower of Jesus Christ today. Now, let me put this in perspective. There are 900 million Buddhists in the world, 900 million. There are a billion Hindus in the world, almost all of them in India because they don't share their faith with other people. 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. But there are 2.5 billion Christians in the world. If you were to say, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins? Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe he's coming again and he sent the Holy Spirit to start the church? They'd say yes. Okay, they're not a Muslim. They're not a Hindu. Now, we're going to have to re-evangelize some of our own people because they got a head knowledge but not a heart knowledge. But they're not Buddhist. They're not Hindu. They're not. And it's easier to win those people back to Christ than it is to churn a Hindu who believes in 10,000 gods to believe in one. Now, what were the five things Jesus did? Preaching, teaching, healing, praying,